From the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted, frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken-hearted, yet he healed me. He the sinner's cry. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. Ever for his blood, his power to save. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's hidden tide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious blood of Jesus, I will enter heaven's gate. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin.
All right, over to 354. 354. Getting a little tick faster than normal, so make sure you keep up with my hand here. All right.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Brother John Napier, why don't you go ahead and pray for us, brother?
Father God, thank you for this afternoon. Come together
Amen. You may be seated. A few things here in the bulletin. Again, men's Bible study prayer breakfast, Saturday, May 8th, 9 a.m. Saturday, May 22nd, spring cleanup and work day here at the church starting at 10 a.m. May 24th through the 27th is going to be our revival with Dr. Peacock. We'll have morning services starting on Tuesday morning, running through Thursday morning. Those will start at 10 a.m. And then also evening services will start Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. The annual Memorial Day dinner on the grounds scheduled for Sunday, May 30th. There will be no evening service that night, but we will have a meal right after morning service. So make sure you bring a dish or a dessert, or something to share. And there will be no evening service that Sunday. That Monday, May 31st, we are planning on doing our canoe and kayaking trip down at Bellbrook Canoe Rental. And usually we'll have to leave out of here early. I'll have more details for you next week about that. And then June 7th through 11th is Vacation Bible School, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., ages 4 to 12. And then July 5th through the 10th is our youth camp in Indiana. If you would like to sing a special for the revival, there's a sign-up sheet on the back. Make sure you give us the details of your group and all that kind of stuff so Elizabeth can work out a list of who's all going to be singing. Okay? Also, if you didn't know, Brother Eric and Miss Shelley and Brother Joshua are going to be heading out of Dodge here. So we got a cake after service tonight. So get a chance to, you know, get a little bit of fellowship and say your goodbyes and pray for them. And they'll be heading out of here, what, Tuesday or Wednesday, brother? Is that the plan? Okay. Wednesday morning? Okay. So they'll be heading down to what, Panama City? Tampa. Yeah. So just be praying for them. And like I say, we'll have some cake and stuff as a little farewell in the fellowship hall after service this evening. So any other announcements before we sing our last congregational tonight? All right, let's get our hymnals. We'll stand back up and sing hymn number 295. 295. Amen.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, or by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes it seems of deepest gloom, sometimes weary Eden's bowers bloom. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, or by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faith and win by thy grace the victory won. In death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. You may be seated, and we got our string group singing or playing. What's going on? Y'all canned it, huh?
Jesse,
you got to make sure your wife stays healthy, man. What's wrong with you?
Daybreak he entered the temple to speak. All of the crowd sat down at his feet. He spoke with such wisdom as they never heard. With amazement they listened as he spoke the word. All of a sudden and burst through the door, a woman was brought stood near the Lord. The sins she committed were not like the rest. Caught in adultery, the penalty death.
Granted her sentence with stones in their hands. Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. A few moments her accusers were gone. No one around her, she was standing alone. He forgave all her sin and she went on her way. As she ran through the city, with joy she proclaimed, just if I had never I was always cleansed, just if I had never wandered so far from home. Jesus took all my sins away. He gives new mercies every day. And now I'm living my were many and the price was too great. My accusers had gathered, oh could this be the day? I cried out to Jesus and he came in my stead. He told my accusers I paid all his debt. Just if I had never sinned, just if I was always cleansed, just if I had never wandered so far from home.
ahead or the things that I'll face, but I know that you'll go before and after me. You know my heart, you know my plea.
As I lay down my head on my pillow,
seems we can't go on. blood to set me free. But in my darkest hour it dawned on me, I didn't realize he gave his life, shed his blood to set me free. But in my darkest hour it dawned on me.
Amen. Brother Andrew's going to preach for us, and tonight's the last night for the Molitors. They're going to be leaving us, Eric and Shelley and Josh, tonight. Well, they'll be gone in a day or two or something, but this will be their last service. So we got a little get-together afterwards as soon as Andrew gets preaching done. Whoever prays, bless the food, and then we can all go back and eat. And that's that's what Baptists do best. We do that bestest. We had a really good morning. We had quite a few visitors in this morning, and one of the couple said, an older couple said to me, was that the music was outstanding. They just loved the everybody singing and playing instruments and stuff of that nature. And that takes a lot of time to get to that place. I just want to thank y'all for putting the time in to learn that stuff and do it. It's not something that's easy, but you did it. And here we are 10, 15 years later, and it's starting to pay out. I mean, it's just starting to be a blessing. God can take the thing and use it. And it'll be a blessing in your life. So, Brother Andrew, I will shut up and let you have it.
Did you get the mic?
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They said it was good to go. There we go. Okay. It doesn't matter, Bobby. You're dealing with me. Doesn't matter how much you try to prepare and get everything in. I say this every time I'm up here. So after the 17th or 18th time preaching, they're like, well, you know what? Let's just shut the guy up and give him an extra 5 minutes to preach and we'll just get everything set up in advance. And it still didn't work. So that's the way things go with me. I cannot stand technology. I cannot stand technology. Unfortunately, I have to use it every day. I have a thing on my phone that tells me how long my screen time is per week. And yesterday was about 2 hours a day. Down from 4. So some of you guys are like, oh, good Lord, that thing says I'm on this phone for 7 hours a day. Hey, you guys, come on now. I need somebody help. Bobby, I'm going to need somebody to help me preach tonight. Okay, and if you fall asleep, I'll pick somebody else at whim, so you better be paying attention. If you could turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. I do apologize for my brain in advance. Today has been one of the craziest days in a long time, of course, because Dad asked me to preach. And if that ask was actually taken out of my life, I could tell what day I'm supposed to be preaching on based on the amount of uncertainty and craziness that happens in the day. Amen, Brother Tom, shaking his head. I had a lot of crazy stuff happen today, and I just kind of knew it. I was prepared for it. Most people that have preached any length of time, they get to the point where you know that anytime you're about to be asked to preach, me and Brother Adam were talking about that, or you know anytime that there's a good message and you have the option to mess things up, that you're going to have a lot of crazy foolishness happen all throughout the day. And we had just crazy foolishness with my kid being a kid. And all the way up until, I mean, I was sitting in the pew back there. My wife sent me a text and said, hey, you know, that landscaper mentor of yours, he's got 3 to 8 hours to live. And he is unsaved. If he doesn't pass away, if you get the chance after you get out of here, pray for him. His name is David Freeman. We've tried to be a witness to him. I did not get a chance to be. My goal was to be able to fly out there at some point. I did not realize his cancer was as bad as it was. So everything up till that. Has been the basis for what we had. Right before that, I decided to come up here early, left my notes, left my Bible. So thank you, Isaiah, for the secondary Bible. Thank you, Brother Erica, for being here with the keys to open the door so I could rewrite my notes from scratch from memory. So if this is different than the original message, it's because it is. It is a totally different message. If you could stand for the reading of God's Word, we're in Genesis chapter number 32. I'm going to read 7 verses here, and we're going to get to preaching. And I may get excited tonight. I have been changing as a person, and I realize that I've got to get more excited when I preach. Sometimes I feel like maybe I go over the top, but when you study and you watch enough preachers, and there's nothing wrong with watching preachers, there's nothing wrong with getting on sermon audio and just listening to other people that you know, that you've been, that you've verified, listening to old tapes, listening to old meetings. There's nothing wrong with you getting around other people, because it will make you realize some things about yourself that are not where they need to be, from a style standpoint, you know, preaching in particular. And I'm going to try to get more excited when I preach, okay? And in life in general, not just in preaching, but in life in general. It can be good for you. It's kind of hard to do both at the same time. All right, the Bible says we are in chapter 32, verse, start in verse 23. The Bible says, "And he took them and sent them over the brook." This is Jacob here, sending his wives, his children, all that he had. The Bible says, sent over that he had. "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," that's he being God. There's a lot of he's going on there, so you want to make sure which he is he. "And when he," God, "saw that he," God, "prevailed not against him," Jacob, God, "touched the hollow of his," Jacob's thigh, "and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him," as Jacob, of course, wrestled with God. "And he said, 'Let me go for the daybreak of—'" that's God there talking. "And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou been, or hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' So he blessed him there." And the Bible says in verse 30, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Oh, Brother Tom, could you go ahead and, Brother Tom Combs, could you go ahead and bless the service? Amen. And we could all just leave after a prayer like that. All right. So Genesis chapter number 32. I will confess that when Dad called me yesterday, that I immediately told him I had a message prepared, because I did. And this is one of those few occasions that I've had to preach where I decided it would be a good idea to just, considering the fact we're about to go through revival, maybe it's a good idea if I just run it by God and make sure that the message that I had prepared is the message God wants me to preach. I always recommend that you do that, because sometimes it's easy for you to come up with a message that you prepared, and you've got the preparation down, and you've got the delivery, and you've listened to 15 other people preach it, and you can, and you've taken examples in your own life. You're not just, you know, copying and pasting. But you got everything structured and laid out. And if you haven't figured out that, hey, is this the message, God, that you want me to preach? I could preach something out of time and mess something up that God would otherwise have you to have. So I woke up this morning, went to the morning service, and about just 20 minutes into Sunday school, Dad had mentioned a couple comments. As a matter of fact, one of the comments I was paying attention to, 10:32 a.m. that day, this morning, he was just talking about being alone. And it was no coincidence that yesterday, the three messages I had planned, that had been planning, one of which I was going to preach, the second of the three, the first one had a component talking about being alone. And I'm like, God, I already got this other one prepared. This is the idea. This is the plan. And God said, yeah, but you know what? Why don't you go ahead and rewrite the other message? You don't yet, of the two that you have prepared the most, this is not the one. Why don't you go ahead and write this one? Because I think everything so far that you're hearing is directing you towards this message over here. And I got to thinking about 20 seconds later, like, you know, if I would preach this second message here, it would be totally out of place with the fact that we're about ready to go through revival. It's a good after revival message. It's not a good before revival message. This one, I believe, is a better before revival message to get you thinking about revival. And so we're going to try to preach this message tonight. I'd like to preach a message tonight called Meeting God Face to Face. Or you could say Face to Face with God. And Christian, I think it's an important thing that you find time in your life to get face to face with God. I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. Those are all good things. But there are some times in your life an alternative to preaching and teaching and you reading your Bible. There's some times in your life where you find yourself, just like Jacob, you find yourself alone and unbeknownst to you about to be face to face with God. I want to go through this message right here real quick. Some of the first comments here, number one, is we are in the book of Genesis, and I know it's been a long time since anybody has preached or taught in this church out of the book of Genesis. Okay, I also know how many people are paying attention right now and how many people are sleeping. Alternatively, how many people have been skipping Sunday school, because that has been the only thing getting preached and taught out in Sunday school for quite some time. And it's always amazing to me when you go to a book like this. Is one of the older of the books in the Bible that was written, one of the earliest written books. When you come to a book like this, it's written at a different time, it's written in a different place. They didn't have cell phones, they didn't have tablets, they didn't have cars, trucks, any of that stuff that we have today. To an entirely different culture, and yet somehow this whole book, as you start out reading, and I hope most of you have at least gotten through your book of Genesis and you're reading this year, it is applicable today. It's alive for today. The same problems I find in Genesis are the same problems I find out in the world today.
That's right.
Same exact problem. You know what? Even better, though, the same solutions to those problems I find in Genesis, I find in the world today, I find in this book. When you read your book of Genesis, you know what you find, guys like Jacob? You know what I look at when I see out in the world? I find out in the world people just like Jacob. Not Israel yet. Jacob, who's about to meet God and become Israel. You remember when you, at some point in your life, got face to face with God, and you realized that you were a sinner, you were like that old man, you were a conniver, maybe you were a schemer, maybe you were a manipulative person, or maybe you weren't, maybe you were just all the other things, which are equally as bad. And you, at some point in your life, came to God and met Him face to face, and He changed your name.
Amen.
You remember that? Can you help me preach, Bobby? Amen. There we go. A little bit louder. We'll give you a mic too. The thing that will worry me is when we get to a point where that type of preaching is made, that those comments are made, and we don't get any effect in the audience. Because there's so few people that realize what happened when you met God, what you were, and what you came out of that as being after you met God face to face. But on top of that salvation experience, Christian, I'd like you to get out of this passage, as God would like you to get out of this passage, because He wrote it for our admonition. It's one of these parts of the Bible where it's an experience that somebody had back here, something that God allowed somebody to go through. Not without knowing how it was going to turn out. They had to go through all these events, not reading the Bible, not looking back at what their life was going to be. They had to go through all these events, just like David had to go through all the stuff he had without having any of the books that were eventually written about him. He had to go through these events so that way someday he could be a help to us when we find ourselves just like what Jacob's about to be in here. The Bible says, we were talking here about how Jacob had this experience with God. But I'd like to flip back just to the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, one of these problems that I was talking about here, we find in the book of Genesis, much can be said in the 23-ish or so verses prior to my text. Much can be said about what happens in that whole section when your past catches up to you. Amen? The backdrop of the story is Jacob has gone a long way from the time he left his father's house. Amen? Several years. It's been a long time. He's looking in the rear. Esau is in the rear view mirror back. He's way, way back there. The birthright, how he manipulated himself out of the birthright, how he managed to deceive his father into giving him the blessing, how he decided to follow his mom's scheme and left. And let me tell you, that entire situation, God had a different way than what ended up being the case there. Don't ever get to reading your Bible when you read something like that, where somebody does something like that, and you read words like scheme, connive. I don't know if there's either of those two words in the Bible, but stuff like that where he is being deceitful, don't you ever think that God is the author of that. There was a different way, and if Jacob would have did what he was supposed to do, Esau could have been killed out hunting. Esau could have despised his birthright, came in, and Isaac could have been so sick. Whatever the case may have been, there was a different way than the way that Jacob decided to choose that got him out on the backside of wherever he was with Laban and all the stuff he had to go through there, his wages being changed 10 times. Might I add that he met his wife out there. As a matter of fact, he met two of his wives out there. Both his wives, Leah and Rachel. There was a different way than the way Jacob chose. And Jacob goes out after all this time. He's got his cows. He's got his cattle. He's got his sheep, his goats, all his animals, all his kids now. He's got all this stuff. His riches, his gold. And now it's time for him to return. And put yourself in that situation. I want you to put yourself in the situation. Most of us have a hard time because we never want to do that to anybody. We never want to, birthrights aren't a big thing these days. Blessings, we're not usually going around blessing people like they did back in the day. We have a group of people who usually come and pray over us sometimes, but as far as having the power of what Isaac and Abraham had, where they could confer unto somebody the covenant of God, for him to know that eventually now he has got to go back and he's got to confront his brother. Put yourself in Jacob's situation. You can't understand Jacob's position until you put yourself in that situation with Jacob and say, man, he's in the rearview mirror way back there, and somehow the car is turned around. And right in front of me now, at this stage of my life, after all these years, I'm looking, and the direction I'm headed towards now is Seir, and in Seir is my brother Esau. And Jacob's coming to a position in life where he's not going to get any closer to God. He's not going to get any farther in his spiritual life until he deals with Esau. He's stuck right there. His past, as we should say, has come full circle. And he's got a deal. Christian, just because there's been a long period of time between the time that something has happened, and I have underlined something, underlined in red because it's a bad thing that is a something here. Just because it's been a long time does not mean that what has happened has gone away. Sometimes, Jacob, God will make you deal with your past before you can ever have a future. And I remember going through this thing thinking, God, how in the world am I going to preach this, man? There's all kinds of stuff in my past. most of you will never know. Because I was, as we say, sheltered, which sometimes means that you got a really good dad and mom who know how to keep their mouths shut and not tell everybody everything in the world that you got going on in your life. I'll add to that that's the way every one of us in here should be. God's pulling stuff out of Jacob's life that he has hidden in other people's lives. And he's given us an example here, but that doesn't mean we need to go around and tell everybody in the world what has happened in the lives of everybody else. There is nothing. I will take the position of a pastor's son here. I want to kind of use the position that I've been in. Not that it's a position of any authority. I was born into it, so there's nothing. I didn't have a say. But if you ever want to cause problems in the church, and I know because I've done this, just go gossip to the pastor about somebody else and their past. Been in plenty of conversations. Man, I've been in plenty of conversations. I've heard preachers preach on gossip and all that other stuff, and then go, as soon as the message they preached is over, they're gossiping to the pastor about somebody in their church. It's easy to preach, Christian. A lot of this stuff is easy to preach. Really hard to live. You know what I've come to the conclusion is that most of the easy stuff in the Bible to preach is some of the hardest stuff to live.
Amen.
And by the time you've got out to that vehicle out there, seniors, you got a shorter walk than the rest of us. We got to go around the building and go back over there. All the decisions you made up here, you've forgotten everything by the time you open your door. By the time you get, some of you all that came up here and made decisions, and I'm not, listen, there's only good that comes from you getting up here and making decisions for the Lord. But the question we need to identify in churches is why you're making the same decision over and over and over again. At what point, Jacob, are you going to deal with the problems of your past and move on? At what point are you going to get to this altar here and say, God, I am so sick of saying the same prayer over and over again and leaving, and by the time I get home, I'm the same person I was. At what point are you going to get off this altar and say, God, I am different. I'm a new name now. I'm not Jacob anymore. We're getting a little bit ahead. We're on point number two now. We'll come back to point number one. I don't want to be Jacob anymore, Lord. I've dealt with you. I'm Israel now. I'm a different person. I have a different meaning. I have a different position in life now. And I've got more important things to deal with than the same stinking sin I've been dealing with for the last 13, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Why do we got Christians in church? Man, I'm preaching at the choir. It's bouncing back off the line. We need to put a big old mirror where that missions thing, it just flip over in the service to a big old mirror. Why do we got the same issues? Can God not deal with the problems that you... Can He not solve the deep, dark problems that you have in one day? Like what I think it was Brother Joe. It was either Brother Joe or Brother Cliff. He's talking about your will. I'm going to make a couple comments here. This may make some people mad, but this is just, again, just me being in church for my entire life. This is some of the stuff that I feel like if I don't say, it's wasting a whole lot of me watching stuff happen in church. Christian, you can get up here, and nothing against the singers this morning or tonight. They were great singers. You can get up. This is just the arbitrary random singer out there who fits this description. You can get up here and sing. You can teach. You can preach. You can be a deacon. We don't have those yet, so now I'm talking about somebody that doesn't exist. Makes everybody feel better because I'm not talking about you now. You can go preach in the jails. You can do everything in the world that the typical Christian would come into church and say, man, that... And you can never meet God. You can never meet... You can do that your entire life and not once ever get face-to-face with God. And God, people will look at you, they'll say, oh, they're blessing, God's blessing you. I'm a good Jacob too. My dad, he talks about being Jacob. I'm not Andrew, strong and manly, but it also means Jacob, I guess. Because I find myself, always thinking about good deals and this and that. And
being a contractor, being a landscaper has helped me in this point. There are sometimes I pay full price because I know that I'm going to be swindling that guy over there who doesn't even know how to run a business yet. And I could do it, and I'm going to pay full price because I know that it prevents me from doing that to that guy. Some of you guys like to get everything you can out of people. Christians are really good at that. Hey, isn't there, there's a senior discount, there's a military discount, and you're in my same church, so there's the church discount, right? It's never, hey, let's pay the guy extra because he's in our church. Let's take care of it. And I'm not saying you have to hire me. Believe me, I'm going out of the business. Don't hire me. We got our mentality mixed up. Because why? Because we're living like the guy we used to be. You're living like Jacob, Christian. Might I add that there's only a few people in the Bible that God has changed the names of. And if you're saved in here, one of them's you. You used to be lost. Now you're saved. You used to be a child of the devil. Now you are a little Christ. You are a Christian. You're a child of God. Christian, can I not say tonight that just like Jacob, at some point here, he started to come to the realization that he's going to now have to deal with his past life, that you have to do the same thing as a Christian sometimes. Was it brother, one of the preachers, I remember preaching this message. The two words that stick in my mind is challenging confrontation. Sometimes you have to deal with confrontation, and other times it's a special breed of confrontation. It's the kind of confrontation that, and message 2 and 3 is going to deal with specifically people in the church. Amen. Some of you all already have this, you've already thought of the person, you already got butterflies in your stomach. It's already messed you up. You could go through, you could go sailing through your day. Everything could be perfect. And somebody just drops their name and the ship goes straight to the bottom of the ocean. And we're about to go into revival, right? You want to get something from God? Point in my life where I had to do the exact, God, why in the world do we have to deal with, I hate confrontation. I hate it. I try as best as I can to choose the think about every way in the world we can prevent confrontation and it'll never happen. And then it happens. And you never have a plan to deal with the confrontation when it happens. And so you let it stew over and over and over and over and over again. And like I said, you've already driven a long way. Esau's in the back mirror. Let me tell you that most of the time that we deal with it, I mean, he's only got a few verses where we talk about Esau. He's kind of out of the picture. But boy, Jacob hadn't forgotten about him. The mere thought, when he sends his messengers out and those messengers come back in the first couple verses there and said, he's come out to meet you with 400 people. Jacob hadn't even got the benefit of the doubt that maybe God has been working on Esau in the background and he didn't know about it. He's already got in his mind, it's about to be judgment time for me. It's easy, Christian, to preach on how you're supposed to forget your past and just let all the things, man, pressing toward the mark, forgetting the things that are about, that's an easy thing to preach. But it's been my personal experience, that is an incredibly hard thing. And don't think it wasn't Paul's too, because he had all those things in his past that the devil was just constantly trying to get him on. Little thorns in the flesh, little messengers of Satan come out the buffet. Hey, what about this? Well, yeah, let's remember back what you did. Yeah, all these people. Oh, maybe it was somebody he met in a service one day, and one of their parents was one of the guys that he imprisoned. And you had to be the Apostle Paul going through the church like that, knowing everything you did in your past. And somehow God still chose you. Like, why in the world, God, would you even choose a guy like me? Why in the world, God, would you even choose a guy like me? There were all kinds of better people you could have picked who didn't do damage to your church, and yet you chose a guy like me. Why? Because sometimes God uses the challenging confrontation of your past to change you. I'll say here that most of us, when we think of confrontation and we think of Jacob, we usually think of Jacob and Esau. But here, the situation, Esau's not going to appear into chapter 33. There's a challenge. There's a challenging confrontation, may I ask, that you think about here. And it's not Jacob meeting Esau. It's Jacob meeting God. And Christian, believe me, message number two or three, that may happen in the next 5-6 months or whatever the case may be. You can attempt to resolve the problem with Esau all you want, but don't be surprised if you run into God along the way and he tries to solve the problem with you first. Because Jacob, you cannot deal with Esau as Jacob. You got to deal with Esau as Israel. You got to be Israel to deal with Esau the right way. I'll also add that you may do it entirely wrong after you become Israel, which is exactly what the case was. But you got to have that name change. That name, you got to live up to that name when he changes your name. Amen. When he changes your name, Christian, you're a Christian now. I got a question. Do you live up to your name? Do you live up to your name? You haven't changed Jacob's name yet, but do you live up to your name now? He's changed your name. Much could be said here about when your past catches up to you. Prime example, just because it has been a long time does not mean that what happened a long time has gone away. I already went through all the things that he did. There were some bad things that happened to him. He stole Esau's blessing. He deceived Isaac. He ran away. That's a good sign that he's not where he should be. As far as the will of God goes, when you're running and when you're cheating and when you're lying and you're waiting and you're stealing and all that other stuff, you're not where you're supposed to be spiritually. You got problems. We can look at where Israel was headed as far as the father of the children of Israel. But believe me, this man made all kind of mistakes that you and me need to pay attention to, because it's the same type of mistakes you find yourself falling into every day. And just like God was trying to deal with Israel here about all the stuff in his past so he could get him to move forward beyond this stuff, he does the same thing to me and you. Book of Genesis. Surely, Jacob must have said, the mess I made way back then won't mess me up now. Jacob, realizing he cannot get to the next level in life without going past Esau. Like I said, I got a whole message thinking about dealing with Esau, that you can't deal with Esau until you deal with yourself. So let's just get to the Bible here. Like I said, maybe this is my brain going off track here. We'll pray that prayer from Brother Tom kicks in here in a little bit. Verse 20, where is my text here? Verse 24. Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. I'd like to talk to you first about this fact of, looking to my notes here, how he prepared for confrontation. And there's nothing wrong, Christian, with preparing for confrontation. When God shows you, he brings you across a position in life where maybe he is, like I said, he brought you full circle and you now have to deal with problems in your past. There's nothing wrong with preparing. Okay, the first thing it says there is that he sent out messengers to go see what was going on, to just try to figure out. Now, we'll find that those messengers come back and say, Esau's coming with 400 men. And sometimes, even though you have prepared and done everything in the world you think you can do, sometimes you'll still find yourself absolutely scared to death when you get the answer you find. Might I ask you to think here that Jacob found himself alone because of the answers the messengers got while he was preparing. And they said, hey, here's the situation. He's coming. And everything that happened thereafter, to the point where Jacob himself was alone and he had watched the last of his animals and kids leave, that was all because he was preparing to meet his brother. Maybe going about it the wrong way. Maybe the same old Jacob we know before that cheated his brother out of the birthright and ran off and stole all Laban, or got all Laban's stuff. But at least he hasn't turned his back and walked away yet. I'll give Jacob that. He is still the same old Jacob trying to bunch this group of people up. Shows you how much he really cared about his family. I mean, you may have like, this is my favorite kid and that's my favorite kid, but they're all kind of like right here. Jacob's like, hey, man, you guys are going in this bunch, you're going in this bunch, and you're going in this bunch. I don't care so much. If you die, you die, you die, and I'm going to be back here. Isn't that how we all are when we get down to our, when we get put under that much pressure in some situations where we find ourselves only caring about ourselves and everybody else, even your own family? You're willing to put on the line for your own skin. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he'll give for his life. Well said, Satan. Job didn't do that, though. So you can. Just because the devil says something doesn't mean you have to live up to what the devil says. So Jacob here, he has watched the last of his kids leave. He is now standing there by himself. Some of the time, maybe a lot of the reason why you never come face to face with God is because you never get alone. Some of you all are freaking out right now because you're saying, oh, alone, 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 suicide, all these other things. No, 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 no. Jacob's alone. You can preach about all the other physiological and psychological things all you want. Jacob's alone. By himself. He doesn't know what's about to happen. He is preparing to meet his brother. He does not know that somebody's preparing to meet him. And has waited for Jacob to do everything in his own power to get himself alone so that God can meet him. As I was listening to the message this morning, and this, my notes were already on the page. My notes were already on the page. I heard Brother Cliff talk about the hospital bed. You know, sometimes, Christian, God will put you in a hospital to get you alone. Say another controversial thing. Sometimes you come up here over and over and over and over and over again with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other people, and you can never hear the voice of God because you're always, it's always getting drowned out by the voice of other people. I made the comment last time I preached, and it's not until Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, after you've heard something preached, and you're sitting in a work truck, halfway through your day, wore out, and God will meet you in that work truck, and you look over, he'll be sitting right there, not visually, but sitting right there, and he'll be talking to you, alone. You want to get a hold of God, Christian? Here's a suggestion. Instead of waiting, instead of letting him wait for you to do everything the wrong way, why don't you make a reservation and be alone with him on your own time? You don't have to go through the perils that Jacob had to go through, the mental stress, the trauma, the being scared to death. He knew all the promises. God, I know what you said to me about my fathers and about my position with you and what you're going to do with me. I know what you said, all that, but I am scared to death because of my brother Esau. And God allowed all that to happen to him. I can only imagine if he would have just tried to get alone with God first, he could have forgone all that fear. A lot of times we choose the hard way. We choose the fear, 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 fear. Cry out to God. Everything's now crashing and burning. I've done, made a mess of things. My history, my past, everything's coming to bear. You better watch out. You better watch how you handle that situation there. God could be using everything and all that time he's dragged you through to get you to that point where you're now alone, you can deal with him. See, if we're going to go into revival in a couple of month or so, some of y'all need to be dealing with Esau. And you can't deal with Esau until you've dealt with you. You can't, Jacob, you can't deal with Esau until you've dealt with Jacob, and until Jacob has met God, and God changes Jacob's name. Some of you are Christians. Do you act like your name suggests? Got me some shirts the other day. Me and Zach sat down and spent the time to make them. Says, you ought to do this. See how terrified it makes you. Walking around the gym with a shirt on your back that says, hi, my name is Andrew. I'm a Christian, and I can show you how to be one too. I'm not just going around to make a big scene. I know that there are people that probably can't stand the back of that shirt. I'm waiting to start getting spit at, ridiculed, why, so I can be happy? Woohoo! Yeah, have that other shirt turn around, you know, flip around and says, you know, joy and sufferings and tribulations and all that is. Because I come to a point in my life where, just like I mentioned earlier, 3 to 8 hours and that guy's going to be off this earth. And I don't want to waste any more of my time living like Jacob, when I can be a Christian and live for Jesus. And I don't want to see anybody else go to hell or possibly go to hell, maybe in lieu of my example or in lieu of the fact that I was just there but not They're the way I should have been. And the Bible says, and having done all. And that popped into my brain. Well, yeah, have you really done all? Why don't you make a shirt and put your name on the back and see how many people that makes mad, and see maybe there's, maybe of all the people that see that shirt the entire time you're alive, maybe one person ends up going to heaven because of a conversation that started because of that shirt. Out of all the stupidity that you may get run through, putting that old man down helps me when I'm in the gym. It keeps my eyes in the right place because I know people are looking at the back of that shirt. So I'm always thinking about what's going on in the back of that shirt. And I know the moment I choose not to live like what the back of the shirt says will be the moment somebody's coming and trying to find help and they'll be turned away because of the old nature that I got. It says, and when he was alone, there met a man. There met him a man. The Bible says, what does it say up here? Verse 24. Some of the reasons that we have failure up here at this altar is because we are never given the chance to get alone with God, and we think that coming up here to an altar and praying and praying and praying, at some point, Christian, believe me, I'm a statistic, I like statistics and numbers and seeing things graphs up and down, and at some point after the 50th time of you getting up here praying the same thing, there should be something clicking in the back of your head, I'm doing something wrong. Never think about that. We come to church the same exact way we were. We leave the same exact way we came. And we feel good because we got up here and said a prayer. But saying a prayer and changing your life and you taking control of what is going on in your life and saying, I am not that person anymore. I am this person. I'm going to live this way. Two totally different things. It is easy to come up here after you have been, believe me, my kids know how to get emotional. My kids know how to cry their eyes out to get attention, to get their way. They know how to cry their eyes out because, man, sometimes they know they're wrong. Believe me, I know how to cry my eyes out when I get caught. Well, there's a difference between that emotional side of things. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with God using your emotions and pressing on your emotions. But when you get up here, this is not a place for emotion. This is a place for true Christianity. If I want to deal with something, I'm going to get up here and deal with it and get off and be different. I don't want to get up here and just constantly, God, it's the same thing. God, it's the same thing. At what point does God say, why am I investing my time into you and my effort and my energy into you when you refuse to invest any of what I've given you into your own self to fix what you have? At what point are you going to change? Is it something wrong on my end? Is it something, I'm God over here. Have I done anything wrong that has prevented you from changing? I'll wrestle with you all night. I'll spend time with you when you're by yourself and you need help the most and you are the most fearful. I will come to you. And the crazy thing I find is that Jacob is wrestling with God. You ever just stop? I don't know how many hundreds of times. Probably we probably read this chapter several hundred more times than some of the other ones because, you know, sometimes you get back before you really get consistent reading your Bible, you quit. You know, you quit, let's say, around Leviticus, Numbers, or something like that. Maybe if you're really, really gung-ho, you'll get to the Chronicles, and that's where you'll drop your ship there. But most of us at least get through Genesis, right? You read this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Where else in your Bible do you find somebody wrestling with God? Theophany, God in the flesh. And he's wrestling with God, and God says, what does he say? Jacob, what is thy name? And now Jacob's got it. Not only is he looking at his past this way, and at least scared about what there's over, now there's this guy wrestling him who will not stop. And he's wrestled all night. It's not like a Mike Tyson 90-second knockout. All night he's wrestled with God. You know what God wants to know? Jacob, what is your name? Hey, you've been a liar. You've been a deceiver. You've been a manipulator your entire life. And you're about to face your brother, which is what I want you to do. But before you do that, you got to face me, Jacob. And you may have deceived your brother. You may have deceived your mommy, your daddy. You may have deceived your friends, Laban, and all these other. But you'll never deceive me. I'm God. So why don't you start being truthful with me, Jacob? Who are you? What is your name? And for the first time probably in his life, Jacob sits down and he says, Jacob. Liar, cheater, deceiver, wretched, stinking, miserable Jacob. You know why you don't have success down here? Because you're not answering the question God's asking you. God, fix this and God, fix that. And I got this problem. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe if you can get alone with God, and maybe you can get alone with God up here, but maybe somewhere else in your life, at a different time, a different day, a place when God really gets alone with you and he asks you the question, who in the world are you? Maybe the reason you're not getting anywhere is because you're not honest. I'm a Christian, but I'm living like Jacob. And I know it. And up until now, I haven't wanted to change, and I don't care. But thank God this is not where the story ends. The thing I like about this part of the story is the fact that Jacob's here, and God hasn't knocked him off the face of the earth like many of us probably should be knocked off the face of the earth, the Bible says. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his side. He prevailed not against him. That does say something about Jacob. He stuck it out. He realized that this guy was not just some ordinary guy out there that out of all the things that have just occurred, he just randomly sent his entire family and everything that he owned off, and there just happened to meet him a guy out there in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. And something about that guy said, man, I don't get in a wrestling match there, and he said, what does it say? Let's just slow down, brain. Slow down. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. As in the wrestling match is still going on, and he's got a hollow thigh out of joint. Well, I got a question for you. You're Jacob. Your flesh, something that's going to always hinder your ability to do anything for God. At some point, when, Christian, maybe God touches that thing, touches your old man, gives you some pain, maybe some suffering, maybe a thorn, whatever the case may be, to see how long you're going to try to find and hold on to him. Say here that he wrestled him all night. Some of our problem maybe is that we get about 1 or 2 hours in, we say, man, I'm already stressed, I'm already frustrated, I'm already in peril, I'm already worried. I don't have time to sit here and wrestle with you, God. And you give up. You forgo your blessing. You forgo your blessing. No name change. Same old person you used to be. It may take more than just a trip to the altar for some of us to get some of the things fixed in our lives that we need to get fixed. To be more like Jesus Christ. It's not just putting it on the back of a shirt. That thing, when that's sitting on the back of my shirt, you know what it means to me? That there's a lot of stuff Andrew Elliott has to change. Because there's a lot of Jacob in Andrew that is not anywhere close to what it needs to be, which is Jesus. And if I can't get those things in my own life squared away, there's no way in the world that God may ever give me an opportunity to deal with an Esau someday or to deal with somebody else someday about a change that God made in me. We always like to look at Jacob here as, oh, his name got changed and he called the place Peniel. There was a whole lot of stuff Jacob had to go through before that name change. He had to stick it out. Christian, when God is putting you through things over and over and over again, and he's allowed you to go to the end of your rope, and then you found him, wrestle with him and don't let go. Does it not say that he said it was time for him to go? And did Jacob just say, all right, I guess it's time. Get on out of here. Or was Jacob interested in getting something from God there? And he said, no. Not yet. Not yet. God, not yet. Not yet. I know I got my past over here and I got to face that. I know I got all this stuff in the future that I'm worried about. But right now I'm in the situation where I've met God face to face. Don't go yet. Don't leave me. It takes effort on your part. When you've seen God face to face, you got to hold on to God until He blesses you. You want the blessing of God, you got to stick it out in the wrestling with God. And sometimes in the wrestling of God, God may, He may leave you, Christian, with a limp. But thank God He left you with a limp, but He still left you with your life.
That's right.
Amen. He left you with your life, even though He took something. He slowed you down a little bit. And that's what a lot of us need in here. We need to be slowed down. We get so fast and so busy and everything's moving. And I got to do this, and this. And God's sitting in the passenger seat. Man, I wonder if He'll talk to me now. Or do I have to schedule an appointment myself and wait for Him to wear out everything He's got going on in His life before He'll meet me 20 years down the road? You know, Jacob could have met God before he ever decided to sell those beans to Esau. It would have been a different story. A lot of stories in the Bible could have been different. Chapter 34 or 35 about Jacob's daughter could have been a different story if Jacob would have chose not to live where he decided to live. And so we find ourselves in 2021. Same exact situation. We can choose whatever we want to do with our lives. You know what I like about God? Is all the foolishness that Jacob did, God never forced him to do anything. I'll come out and wrestle with you, Jacob. I won't force you to stay. I'll come meet with you. I won't force you to talk to me. I won't force you to deal with me. I won't force you to deal with Esau. I won't force you. You can go back out into the wilderness and do whatever you want to do. But when you cry out, I'll show up. You know what I like about God there is that in all the foolishness that Jacob found himself in, God came to his aid. And all the crazy struggles that he was about to have, and all the things that he had surmised, all the ideas that he had come up with, nothing that was correct. Might I also add, a lot of things that you're worried about in other people are not actually correct. You're worried about Esau. You think Esau's going to be this way over here. And unbeknownst to you, while you've spent the last 20 years of your life worrying about a potential confrontation with Esau down the road, God's already worked on Esau in a different way. And now Esau is an entirely different person himself, and you don't know it. And God allows that fear that you're not supposed to have, Christian. He allows that worry that you're not supposed to have because you've forgotten somebody along the way who's able to carry and bear all that fear. He allows you to drag all that with you to get you to the point where you'll talk to Him. Face to face. Not this going, God, hey, I'm here, you know, standing in need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Some of y'all have been there. Been there a couple times myself in the last about a year or so. I can tell you that there's nothing wrong with the peril of your situation driving you to prayer, driving you to get close to God. It's what God uses. It's one of the tools that He uses when you don't do it the other way around, the right way. Sometimes He allows things in your life, Jacob, because just not to beat you up, not to get you scared, but because He's about to change your name. Because He expects something better of you than what you've been before. And we find up here, Jacob, my favorite part, where he gets close to God here. The Bible says in verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. When God asks you that question, when you're praying, that goes into your mind, and God's saying, man, what in the world are you? You ought to be honest with God, because you can't get anywhere with God unless you're honest with God. And He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. This fearful man, this guy who's scared to death of meeting his brother, of confronting his past, of doing all the stuff that he knows he probably needs to do, and he's come up with his own idea. He's sent this group of servants to say that he in fact was, hey, Esau, thy servant Jacob. He's humbled himself now. A lot of crises, a lot of situations, a lot of problems, a lot of confrontations in your life would be resolved if you did what Jacob did here. And you humble yourself and you go to the other person with the right attitude. If you want to make sure that the situation is never resolved, you keep acting proud and arrogant and then try to meet him. That's a surefire way you will ruin or destroy any ability for God to help you deal with Esau in your life. Just be arrogant about it. Just say, well, God has given me all this stuff and all this land and all these people and all this money and all these cars and all this. Yeah, but none of that matters when you're out by yourself and you got all those thoughts in your head and you got to figure out how to deal with them. None of that stuff matters anymore. Jacob's, that's all in the past. That's all way over there. That's all on before him. How do I deal with Esau? And God says, well, we got to change your name first. Because if you're going to deal with Esau, Jacob, it is no more place for you to be a supplanter. You can't be a conniver anymore. You can't be mischievous. You can't be carnal and worldly. It's time for you to be a Christian. Am I making the example there, the allegory there? That when you got to deal with things in your life, it's best to deal with them under the name that God changed your name to. The Bible says here, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that, or is it that thou dost ask me my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And Christian, if you ever see God's face and your life is preserved, you better find a name to call that place in your life. When God has come down and met you face to face in your crisis and your peril in the worst of worst times, and I'm talking about this in light of revival, I don't want to just take the position that we're all hunky-dory and everything's working great and everything's fine and dandy. There's probably some Jacobs in this room that know they need to meet face-to-face with God. And why in the world would you wait until revival to do that? Why do you need a specific period of time in your life, once a year, for you to try to meet face-to-face with God, as if God is only going to come down and meet with you during the revival? It may be that you go through a revival and don't meet with God at all, and then 4 or 5 weeks after everything has completely fallen apart, God says, hey, is it time, Jacob? Is it time to meet with me? Hey, I'm going to wrestle you with some time. It's going to cause you some pain. It's going to put you on a limp. It's going to slow you down a little bit. You're going to lose some stuff, Jacob, but you got me. And when you got me, and when your name is changed, Jacob, then all these things that you thought were the real confrontation, you thought Esau was the real confrontation? No. The real confrontation's with me. And if you want to deal with all these other things in your life, you deal with me first, right now, as the day breaks. Christian, I don't know how much longer we're going to be here tonight. Like I said, there's people that I know of that have less than 10 hours to live. And oftentimes we get these events set in our lives where I'm going to store up all my wickedness and all my sin and everything else. I'm going to wait till the revival. I'm going to go to the altar and get it all right. And God may just be calling you today. He may be trying to get you to see that, hey, there's an Esau in your life that you're going to have to deal with. And you haven't dealt with it yet. But before we try to deal with that, why don't we fix Jacob first? Because it's a whole lot easier for Jacob to deal with Esau when he's Israel, a prince of princes who's got power with God and power with man. You know what I write? You know what I got out of that when I read that? God, I want power. I want the power to be able to do something when you put me in front of somebody else. I want the power to be able to, that you can use my situation to be a help to somebody else. And when I'm reading that, you know what? God says, hey man, you got to change. A lot of stuff, Jacob, you got to change. But I haven't cast you out. I haven't destroyed you yet. I let you go through all that crazy stuff you went through. I let you do everything you wanted to do. And I let you go and spend all that time so you can meet me. So you could change. You know, the thing about Jacob is, didn't change much after he got out of there. The same Jacob that was now Israel, the Israel that met Esau was very much the same Jacob of the past. But there's got to be a start somewhere where you meet God. You may not be a perfect Christian when you come out. You may not be the role model of a Christian who's going to go out and witness and win the lost and get everything in your life squared away day one. But at some point, Christian, you got to get close to God, and you got to come to that point where, man, if I don't meet you, and if I don't hold on to you until I get what I need, because we're in a nation that really doesn't need God. We don't need to wrestle with God. We don't need to spend time looking for God. We don't need anything that God has for us. And God will just let you walk on right by. So what about it, Christian? If you in here tonight have never met God face to face, as it said there, not physically face to face, but where he has come down and met you in a place like that alone, you got the option to do that tonight. You got the option tomorrow, and maybe the next day, and maybe the next day, and maybe the next day. But I'd say you better take it sooner rather than later, because you never know when God walks out of that confrontation. You never know how long it'll be before he comes back. As was mentioned this morning, he may never come back. When God comes to meet me face to face, I don't want to waste that precious moment. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Just pray that you be with the invitation, Lord. Be with the time that we're going to have with the Molitors afterwards. I just pray that you be with them. Be with them on their passage on the way back. Lord, I pray that you be with the song service, everything that happened today. Lord, there was a lot of good preaching this morning. A lot of good songs, Lord. It was a great day to be in church. I just pray that you'd help this church, Lord. Be with all the people that weren't able to make it tonight. Be with them in your own special way. We ask all those things in your name. Amen.
All right, let's stand and sing hymn number 166. 166.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Magnify thy name, Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Pour hard with thy great love divine. Passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me. Abide. sings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. Be seated for just a second. I wanted to just say this before the monitors get out of here. Brother Eric has been a blessing since he's been here. The sound system we have, the video, everything else that you have, even what we had at camp, there was a ton of work that went into that. And he did most of all that. We supplied the stuff, and we could buy it. Me and him would get stuff and do it. But I'm telling you, where we're sitting at today, we wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for Brother Eric doing what he did. And y'all need to thank him before he gets out here tonight, because I'm telling you, there was a lot of work, a lot of research. Ask Bobby. Bobby's starting to do some of that stuff now. And what you're going to find out is it takes hours and hours and hours, if not hundreds of hours, in the background to do stuff that you know nothing about. You know nothing about. You come in on Sunday morning and the video's there, or you sit at home and you get to watch it on the YouTube or video, and you just sit and you don't really realize the hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours that went into the background to get it to where that could happen. And Brother Eric did that. I don't want him to get out of here without y'all knowing that, hey, I appreciate everything he ever did and his family's done. And it's just a blessing. So we're going to go back here. I'm going to pray here in a second. We're going back here and eat and fellowship. And then they're going to mosey on down to Florida. Like this is a bad time of year to go down there because it's nice and warm. But they're going to go down and y'all pray that they can find where the Lord wants them exactly to be and let them be a blessing, because they can be a blessing to a church. Father, do thank you for many times, Lord, that Brother Eric and Shelley and Josh has been here, Lord. They've been here for years. And Lord, he's been in my life ever since school, and I just pray that you'd bless him, put your hand upon him. Lord, that you'd guide and direct them down there, and that, Lord, whatever you'd have in their future, you're never done. You're always ready to start again and again and again and again. And Lord, sometimes we move to a different place and start all over. And Lord, it's just what's needed. You've always moved us here and there. And Lord, all through history, Lord, everybody's moved around. And in Jerusalem, Lord, they all moved out of there and went to different places. Lord, there's going to come a day when other people are going to leave and go to someplace else to do something for you. And Lord, I just pray that you bless them on the way. Lord, you put an angel about the vehicle that they're driving out of here tomorrow, Lord, or the next day, and get them down to Florida safely. And Lord, just provide housing and just about anything they need, Lord. I just pray that you'd put your hand upon him. I just want to thank you for sending him our way. And Lord, all the stuff that has been done here, Lord, that it just would not have been, it would not be here today, and we would not be where we're at if it wasn't for the hand that he put in on it. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless him, and Father, thank you for it. Bless the fellowship and the food that's back there, and we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all go back first.